This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, renowned speaker, author, and we are going to talk about her expedition to Antarctica, Rachel Robertson. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's a rare group of people that have got to visit Antarctica. So first of all, tell us a little bit about what you were doing leading a team there and how it came about.
Yeah. It was quite by accident. I saw the job advertised in a newspaper, and the Antarctic Division recruits for quality. So they recruit for empathy, integrity and resilience rather than like a technical skill you need. And I just thought that's a fantastic way to recruit. I thought I wanted to recruit staff who had empathy and integrity as well. I can teach the technical stuff. And so I only applied for the job to get to the interview stage so I could find out what their questions were and I could copy their questions. And after I applied, I found out they don't have an interview. They have a boot camp that goes for a week. So I end up on this boot camp with 13 men competing for a job I didn't really want. And then they ring and they offered it to me. And I thought, you know what? I'd rather regret what I did than regret what I didn't do. And that's the whole reason I ended up living there for a year, leading a team. We had 120 people over summer, and then they all go home in February, and there's 18 of us that stay behind for the next 9 months in total isolation. Can't get in, can't get out, can't go outside for 4 months. So that it was quite by accident that I ended up there.
So what was the objective of the trip? Was it to put everybody in a position where they're sort of at their wit's end, or were you working on a particular project?
It sounds a bit, doesn't it? A bit like Survivor or something. No, in summer we're doing science. So it's summer, we're down there doing climate change research. So it's all of our scientists from 20 different countries are down there doing glaciology, biology, seismology, geomorphology, all the ologies.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's a crazy busy place with helicopters and planes, and you know, we're doing science. We're trying to understand climate change.
Yeah.
And then when they go home, the core group, we remain behind purely for asset management. We just keep the joint open, keep it warm, keep it running until summer. So you can imagine summer is really exciting and it's fun and it's busy and there's lots of laughs, whereas winter is what we're experiencing now. It's Groundhog Day. It's the same thing every day. It's boring. Interpersonal pressure is huge.
Yeah.
And so it's quite a different community day and night, and quite a different role for me as the leader, for summer and winter.
And I love that you do say summer when we know in Antarctica that would still be quite freezing. But you're right in saying that what we're experiencing now globally is that collective feeling of winter. We're all self-isolating in the ways that we can, and some countries obviously have more severe lockdown rules than others right now. But you are right up in people's business, and you've got families, couples, who may not have spent this much time face-to-face in years. So in that context, how do you foster great relationships and just make sure you don't send everyone crazy?
The tip for us, or the mantra, I guess you'd say, for us was that respect trumps harmony, and you really need an ability to speak up. If someone's affecting you or something's affecting you, either for safety or mental health reasons, it's really important that you can speak up and say, this is how I'm feeling or this is how it's affecting me. And so for us, that was our mantra that, you know, we weren't always going to see eye to eye and we weren't always going to be great friends, but we would always, always treat each other respectfully, which meant we would raise issues. And one of the tools we had was no triangles, which is I don't speak to you about him. If I have a problem with him or I have a problem with her, I go direct to her. I don't take it to a third party. Mm-hmm. And it was all designed just to build respect in the team and just understanding exactly what you said, that we will be all over each other's business. Like, you've got no privacy. People know where you are every minute of every day now. And so there's no privacy. There's boredom. A lot of the states have school holidays at the moment. So it's just, you know, it's mad. The only way you can cope with that is to create an environment where you do speak up and you look after yourself, but you're open and honest. And yet, no triangles, honestly, changed the whole dynamic in the team, because it meant even under pressure, we had each other's back. So even in the toughest days, we still had each other's back.
And when there's a rule that everybody is just going to speak directly, they're going to confront stuff, I think that makes it more okay, because you know that confrontation is the accepted culture and it's not going to be something that people will feel sort of hesitant to do, or like you're being too aggressive or anything like that.
That's exactly it. You've hit the nail on the head. So it did take me 2 months as the leader to embed that in the culture of the team, because Australians, we don't like those conversations. As you're saying, we find them quite jarring. But when the whole team has committed, or the whole family has committed, or the whole school has committed, and put their hand up and said, yep, we commit to this. It takes away that confronting. It's not confronting anymore. It's how we work together as a team. And whether it's a volunteer team or a family or a business, it's the same elements apply. But when the whole team's put their hand up and said, this is how we operate around here, it takes away that confronting. And as you say, it's just the way we work here.
It makes this season of isolation that we're in, for however long it lasts, one where we can really actually learn a lot and be proactive in how we create stronger bonds between our families. But there's going to be, in the space of it, the everyday things, like someone leaving their teacup in the sink or not putting away their shoes, all of these things that we get to see at the house and then leave for a day of work. They're going to be in front of us every single day. So how do we deal with those sort of little niggly things we're going to be more aware of?
It's so true. And I call them the bacon wars. And I've just researched this. I've done research on this exact topic because it happened in Antarctica. And it started off as a bacon war, as a fight about whether bacon should be soft or crispy. Legit. And then when I got to the bottom of it, I found out that one team thought the other team was deliberately cooking the bacon the opposite way to irritate them.
Oh my gosh.
I had this epiphany. It's like, wow, this is actually not about bacon. It's about respect. They're feeling disrespected. And so I started identifying all of these things in teams that irritate people. And this is why. It's because it's a symptom of a deeper issue, and the deeper issue is the lack of respect. And believe it or not, what you said, the number one bacon war in Australia is dirty coffee mugs.
In workplaces too, I think.
Yeah, it's a sign, you know, signing workplace saying your mother doesn't work here, put your dishes in the dishwasher. And even working at home now with my husband is a consultant, so he's on the phone constantly. He's very loud, talking. I'm an author, so I need quiet and serenity. There's no way we could share the same office space. So we had to have that conversation really early on and work out how we're going to share the office and who would have it at which times and who wouldn't, and have a conversation early to prevent anything, you know, later on. And it's absolutely spot on that as we're living together, those little things will drive us bonkers, and that's why, because they're a symptom of a deeper issue, and it's the disrespect. That's the bit that gets us. That's the bit that hurts our feelings and gets us upset. It's not the coffee mug, because, yeah, we could put the coffee mug in the sink.
You're also a mum as well, and I think right now there's a lot of families, of course, doing the homeschooling thing, and the parents are really setting the agenda for the day, but also the emotional atmosphere in so many ways. What's your recommendation to mums, dads, carers in helping their kids, particularly through what is a really scary time, but also your own personal anxieties?
It really is, isn't it? And I can say from my experience leading a search and rescue in Antarctica, where all eyes were on me. There was 120 people watching me and waiting to see how I reacted and waiting to see how I responded. And a couple of things I learnt from that experience was to choose my words carefully. So I talked about having concern. I said, I'm concerned. We had four people stranded 500 kilometres away. And I said, I'm concerned. I'm not worried, because they're very different words. And I'm saying that with my son at the moment. If I have concerns, it's not worry. That's a different word. Even my body language, you need to be poised and calm, because if the adults in the room are running around saying, oh, you know, this is horrible, this is terrible, the children will pick up on that. So it's important for us to actually, and it's hard, it's really hard, but you just need to dig deep and be a leader. And leadership is a behaviour. It's not a title, it's a behaviour. And you really need to be that leader and pull your shoulders back and go, okay, as a leader, I will lead my family through this. And that means being calm, positive, optimistic, saying we will get through this. We don't know when, but we will get through this. And it's really difficult for everyone. But I think when you're a leader in a family or a community, people are watching you, and that's when you, and they'll take that. We call it the leadership shadow. So it's the shadow you cast as a leader that people will pick up on your vibe. It's contagious. No pun intended there.
Yeah.
so you need to be positive and calm and say, we will get through this.
A good leader, I think, also shows an innate, or has an innate air of confidence, and like they know where things are going, even in uncertain times. And I think right now a lot of people are looking to their own parents or even further government, etc., for that kind of certainty. Part of that happens when you're able to almost forecast what's going to happen and have that sort of early intervention capacity. You're able to take action. Right now, though, we see change happening so rapidly. So how do you instill confidence in people, in families, in workplaces, when the change is happening so fast and you genuinely don't know what's coming down the road?
And that's what I did with my team. If I didn't know, I said, I don't know. So we, with the search and rescue, for example, I'd send out an email or have a meeting every 2 hours. That was the deal. Every 2 hours, I'd update the community on what was happening. And if I had nothing further to update, I would say that. I'd say, look, nothing further to update since the last update. This is the position. This is where we're at. But the other really important thing is to break it down in what can I do in the next hour? What can I do in the next day? What can I do in the next week? Because I think if we look ahead to this could be potentially months, and that's overwhelming, certainly for me, and I think for a lot of people that thought is overwhelming. So let's break it down. Let's leave that to the experts and let's decide what can I do in the next hour, in the next day, in the next week to keep my family and the people I love and my teams, if I'm running a business, to keep us all resilient and optimistic and strong when, in the face of no information and no one knows. No one knows how this will end, but we do know how we will spend the next hour. We do know how we'll spend the next week. So break it down and keep it in control.
We have heard that term unprecedented, or that word unprecedented, used so much because people really, in our own lifetimes, many of us haven't experienced something like this. So do you have any final words of advice to families, to businesses who are walking this very uncertain pathway forward, how to just process the crisis?
Yeah, and we're getting so much information, aren't we? And sometimes it's conflicting information. And I think it's really important that we focus on what we can control. And what we can control is we can stay home. What we can control is the calmness and the poise and keeping our family and friends, close, emotionally close. And so controlling what you can control, because we just don't know how it will end. The other really important thing, I think, is what I call lead without a title. And that means, as I said, leadership is a behaviour, but every one of us can show leadership. Every one of us can, check in on our elderly neighbour. Everyone can help go and get groceries for someone who's housebound. I mean, that's leadership, and that we're going to need every single person to demonstrate that kind of leadership behaviour. And we all have that capacity and we all have that ability. I think a lot of us just haven't seen that in ourselves yet. We don't think of ourselves as a leader. And I think, come as the moment, come as the man, this is the time where every one of us needs to step up and show leadership.
Yeah, it's a new time to really learn those skills and use them if you've already got them, Rachel. Thank you so much for chatting with us. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.